Good morning and welcome to our Sunday morning service here at Heritage Baptist Church. I just want to let you know that we are in the process of moving some things around. Therefore, our live stream is no longer coming to you from our activity center. Rather, we are in the process of moving to our new permanent facility, our new building in Ubi. And so for the next week or a couple of weeks, probably while we get things sorted out in our new place, where that we will be able to continue live streaming from there, we're going to be bringing some pre-recorded messages for you. And so this morning I want to speak to you on the subject, the dedication of God's house, because today is our first day of being able to meet together, first of all, in a physical way for over a year, and also because of the fact that today we are meeting in our new facility for the very first time. We think that it is only appropriate that we should begin by dedicating this place to God, dedicating it for His glory. Certainly such a practice as this is very clearly seen in the Scriptures. You remember that King David had desired to build a temple in Jerusalem. But then he said in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse number 3, he said that the Lord God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Therefore, since David could not build the house for the Lord, David spent the rest of his life making preparations. He spent the rest of his life gathering materials for the construction of God's house. And then later on, King Solomon took the materials that his father, King David, had prepared. And for 7 years, the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 37 and verse 38, for 7 years, skilled workers labored in the building of that temple. The skill of those workers is clearly seen in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7, where the Bible says the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. In other words, the skill of these workers was so great, their skill was so good, that even in the quarry, when they cut the stone, their cuts were so precise, their measurements were so exact, that when that stone was brought from the quarry to the construction site, that stone fit perfectly into its place without any need of any kind of tool to force it into place. The skill of the workers. And when all the work was done, when the construction of the temple was finished, the last step was to place the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, where it would be covered with the outstretched wings of the cherubim. And the Bible says in verse number 10 and verse number 11 of 1 Kings chapter 8, that it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Well, then there came the day of dedication, and we find there was a prayer of dedication. In fact, the Bible tells us in a parallel passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 13, that Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. In other words, Solomon built this platform. It was 2.25 meters square, and it stood 1.4 meters high, and it was there in the middle of the court, and he climbs up onto that platform, and there he then kneels down and he offers a prayer of dedication. I think that's a good place for us to begin as well. And so if you would please, let's bow our heads together, close our eyes for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we certainly want to acknowledge the fact that you have prospered us by your good hand. You have enabled us by your grace and by your power. And therefore, this morning, as members of Heritage Baptist Church, our great desire, Heavenly Father, is to give to you our sincere thanks and our appreciation for this wonderful provision, this wonderful building, this wonderful meeting place that you have provided for us. Heavenly Father, as a body of believers assembled together this morning, we dedicate now this building to you, that it might be a place of worship, that it might be a house of prayer, that it might be a station where your word is faithfully proclaimed, that it might be a place where men and women are brought to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and where the saints are edified and built up in the most holy faith. Lord, our desire is that this place might be dedicated to you as a habitation where that you are continually honored and glorified and lifted up and exalted in all things. Lord, it is to those great and eternal purposes that we now humbly and sincerely dedicate this place to you. In the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray these things. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54, "And it was so, when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying," in other words, after offering the prayer of dedication, there then came a message of dedication. A dedication message to all the people of Israel. And in that dedication of message, I want us to notice here in our text in 1 Kings chapter 8, we find that Solomon is going to remind them of four things I think that are very applicable for us today as members of Heritage Baptist Church. I want you to notice, first of all, Solomon reminds them of their blessing. In verse number 56, Solomon said, "Blessed be the Lord, that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." I want you to notice that the promised blessing that was given by God to Moses, and then through Moses to the people of Israel, it was a promised blessing of rest. A promised blessing of rest. And this rest, which the Lord God had promised through his servant Moses, was faithfully given. By the way, please remember, God is always faithful. God always keeps his promises. God's word will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it has been sent. And so all of these promises that God has given, they were faithfully fulfilled. In fact, not one word of them had failed, Solomon said. Not one word had failed. And so I want you to notice that God had promised to bless Israel with rest. And this rest that Israel enjoyed was a rest that was seen in three ways. First of all, there was rest in their land. You remember Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 20, "Until the Lord had given rest unto your brethren, as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God hath given them beyond Jordan, and then shall ye return every man unto his possession, which I have given you." In other words, the promise was simply that no longer would the nation of Israel be wandering in the wilderness. No longer is the nation of Israel going to be living in tents. But those on the east side of the Jordan and those on the west side of the Jordan, all of them are now going to find the promised rest in their own land. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. That's why Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 13 said, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. God gave to his people the rest, just as he promised that he would do. Not only did he give them rest in their land, I want you to notice this, he also gave them rest from their enemies. Again, Moses said, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22 and following, Moses said, the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee. The Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. That was the promise. There was a promise that they would have rest from their enemies. God is going to give them great and glorious victories. And again, read the record of Joshua. The record of Joshua, you find it very clearly illustrated how that as long as the people of Israel were walking in obedience to the Lord God, as long as they were obeying his laws, following his precepts, observing his commandments, as long as they did those things, God blessed them and their enemies fell like dominoes before them. They had rest in their land. They had rest from their enemies. I want you to notice also they had rest in their worship. They had rest in their worship. You remember in the days of Moses and during the days of their wilderness journey, the tabernacle was Israel's place of worship. It was there that the people would go to hear God's word, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It was to that tabernacle where the people would go to offer their offerings. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. But every time the Lord God would move them in the next step toward their promised land, there were men of the tribe of Levi, Numbers chapter 4 tells us, who were appointed with an important task. You see, those men of the tribe of Levi, it was their job to tear down the tabernacle. It was their job to pack everything up and get it ready for travel. It was their job then to carry all of those things to the place where that the Lord God was going to lead them. And when the Lord God chose the place where that they were to settle, then it was those men who would take that tabernacle, they would reassemble it all, and they would set it up once again. Some of you can identify with that. Some of you, God bless you. You have faithfully been such a help and a blessing through the years as we have had to move from place to place, and you have been such a help in setting up and taking down and moving from place to place. And so you understand exactly what these men were going through. But here's the point I want you to notice. When the temple was built in Jerusalem, that became the permanent place where the nation of Israel would go and meet with the Lord God. In other words, there's no more moving around, no more going from place to place, no more tearing down, setting up. No, now they are in a permanent place, and there is a rest in their worship. And so Solomon reminded the people of the blessing of rest, and we certainly have received that same blessing, as now we are able to settle into this new place that God has given to us. But then Solomon also reminded the people, number two, of their need. You see, when God blessed the nation of Israel with this new temple, Solomon knew that it would be very easy for them to become proud of this very beautiful building. He knew that it would be very easy for them to become satisfied, to become complacent with what God had given. And so therefore, Solomon reminded the people of the fact that just because they have this new place, and just because they now have this permanent worship site, they still had two great needs. First of all, there was the need for God's presence. The need for God's presence. Notice it in verse 57. The Lord our God be with us. As he was with our fathers, let him not leave us nor forsake us. You see, Solomon understood that even though they now have this beautiful temple, they have this permanent place of worship, Solomon understood that if the Lord God was not with them in their temple, then their temple was nothing more than a beautiful building with no spiritual value at all. In other words, Solomon understood that their need for the presence of the Lord God was exactly the same as it had been back in the days of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. By the way, let me just say to you that the very same thing is true. Even though we have this beautiful place where we can meet together as a church, even though we have this beautiful place where we can assemble together to sing praises to our God, to bring our offerings to our Lord, even though we have this beautiful place where that we can meet together, I want you to know that we still need God's presence. Because in spite of all the beauty of this building that we have now provided for us, if God is not with us, then all of this has been a huge waste of time and money. We need God's presence. Not only did Solomon remind them of their need of God's presence, but he also reminded the people of their need of God's direction. You see, Solomon understood that the hearts of men are not naturally inclined to walk in the pathways of holiness. In other words, as the prophet Jeremiah said, Solomon understood that the heart of a man is deceitful and it's desperately wicked. The hearts of all men, therefore, are naturally inclined not to walk in the ways of God. The natural heart of a man is inclined to go his own way and to do his own thing. And so therefore Solomon reminded the nation of Israel that they needed the Lord to do a work in their heart. To do a work in their heart. Notice it in verse 58, that he may incline our hearts unto him. In other words, Solomon's desire was that God would cause the hearts of Israel to be turned toward the Lord God, so that they would have a desire to follow him, so that they might, notice what he says, so that they might walk in all his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And so Solomon reminded the people of their rest. He reminded the people of their need. Number three, he reminded the people of their cause. The Lord God had given to Israel a glorious temple, but Solomon understood that their temple was not just for their comfort. The temple was not just for their own convenience. And by the way, Heritage Baptist Church, while we thank God for this building that God has given to us, I want you to understand this is not just for our comfort, and it is not just for our convenience. Solomon understood the same thing concerning the temple. And so therefore, I want you to notice, first of all, the petition. In verse number 59, Solomon said, "And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require." You see, Solomon understood that there was a cause. This temple, there's a cause. This people, there is a cause that the Lord God had for them to fulfill. And therefore, Solomon's petition was that the Lord God would simply do whatever was necessary in the present and in the future, that the Lord God would do whatever might be necessary to maintain that cause, to continue that cause. And the cause that the Lord God had in view for the nation of Israel is simply seen in letter B, the purpose. The purpose. Notice it in verse number 60, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. By the way, let me just say to you this morning, Heritage Baptist Church, that same purpose has been given to us. The great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ is our cause. It is our purpose. That is why the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And what is it that we are to be teaching all nations? Well, if you go to the very next gospel in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, that's what we're to be teaching. We are to be teaching the gospel to every man and to every woman. But what is the message of the gospel? Well, go to the next book in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 47. Here it is, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Here's the point. While we praise the Lord for this beautiful place that God has given to us, I want you to know that the possession of this building does not mean that our God-given responsibility has been fulfilled. The fact that we have moved into this beautiful facility, we now have this beautiful building in which to worship, it does not mean that now is the time for us to prop up our feet on the stool of do-nothing and kick back in the reclining chair of ease. It is not time for us to let down and to stop doing what our God has called us to do, because the sad fact is there is still, even today, a world of humanity who have never heard the glorious truth that there is a Creator who loves them, and there is a Savior who died for them. They've never heard the message that there is a heaven to be gained, and there is a hell to be avoided, and it is all through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our job. That is our purpose. That is the cause to which we have been entrusted. And so Solomon reminded the people of Israel of their rest. He reminded them of their need. He reminded them of their cause. And then last of all, he reminded them of their duty. In verse number 61 of 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon said, let your heart therefore, because of all of the things that he has already mentioned, now let your heart be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. In other words, Solomon reminded the nation of Israel that it was their duty now. It's their duty to remain fully committed to the Lord God at all times. It is their duty now to remain fully committed to the Lord God at all times. And that is really the heart of what this dedication is all about. You see, Solomon understood that the dedication of the temple to the Lord was nothing more than a religious ceremony if the hearts of the people were not clean and right with God. The dedication of that meeting place was nothing more than a religious ceremony if the people themselves were not dedicated and committed to serving and obeying the Lord. By the way, the very same thing is true of us today. I think one writer summed it up very well. Here's what he said. He said, we can only truly dedicate things to God when we have first dedicated ourselves completely to him. Therefore, we find the proof of Israel's personal dedication is given. the proof of their personal dedication is given. Notice it in verse 62 and verse 63. The Bible says the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto the Lord. 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord for every member of this church as we dedicate this building to our Lord. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to personally dedicate yourself completely to the Lord. No, let's not just dedicate this building, but let's dedicate ourselves. Because remember, this building, this is really not Heritage Baptist Church. We are Heritage Baptist Church. This is just the place where that we meet. And so let's dedicate ourselves completely to God. In other words, let's determine this morning, right now, that we are going to obey the challenge of the Apostle Paul. When he said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. On this day of dedication, as we dedicate this building that God has graciously given to us, as we dedicate it to Him, for the furtherance of His gospel and for the building of His church, may the personal and complete dedication of ourselves to God be a reality in each heart and in each life of every member of Heritage Baptist.